And welcome to a Sleeper Wire show. I'm your host, Jason. This week, we are going to be doing a mock draft, standard PPR mock draft. With me this week, we've got a legend in his own right. We've got George. Say hi, George.
I thought you were going to say a legend in his own mind. I felt like that would be, you know, more appropriate.
Well, I mean, you named yourself the show, so.
And it stuck.
I figured it did stick.
I am the guy that can nickname myself, and then everybody's like, yeah, that's right. He's the whole effing show.
Despite me trying to get you to lose that nickname because I was making fun of you for taking your own nickname, it stuck. So welcome to the show. How's your week been?
Been a long week, and it's only Monday. I have a feeling it's going to be a long week. You know how work is. We work together, so we talk about it at work, away from work. It's work.
So with that said, also with me tonight is amazing resonator herself, Fallon.
Hello. How are we doing? How are you doing, Jason?
I am doing great. So this week we are doing a mock draft. Everybody loves a mock draft. It is basically, like I said, a standard PPR mock draft. No kickers, no defense. It's going to be 3 wide receivers, 2 running backs. We are not doing Superflex because most of you guys out there aren't doing Superflex. I find that disappointing. But it's not; it's just not that popular. So we're doing just a standard mock draft, and we've got a couple of we've got at least one more Sleeper Wire guy. Steven Spack is with us, and then we've got me, myself, George, and with us is Goodwrench 12, BFTGO, Cap'n Kurt, Fantasy X Factor, Flash Fantasy, Great Scott, 523, Ant Man, Wolf FF8, Zoe. And then myself and just a girl, which is Fallon.
So it's Swole, first off, not Zoe.
Well, and, Swole. I can't read, listen.
And Wolf FF8 is actually Wolf F8.
Oh, is it? All right. Well, so.
Holy running backs. Jesus. Sorry.
Yeah, all the running backs off the board. I'm going to take Miles Sanders here at the 11th pick. First round, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, Saquon Barkley, Michael Thomas, Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook, Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, who is still going in the first round, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Joe Mixon. I took Miles Sanders at 111, and Fallon has taken Nick Chubb at 112, and we're waiting on 201. So the only surprise to me in this whole setup was Alvin Kamara going 2 over Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, Michael Thomas. George, what do you think about that? I'm going to slow the draft down just a little bit so we can talk about it.
I was kind of surprised. So I'm picking from the 3rd spot. I was not expecting to get Saquon. I was actually planning on taking Zeke. I figured I'd have my choice between Kamara and Zeke. I figured I'd go Zeke. I love Zeke. And Saquon Barkley fell to my lap. I'm shocked. I know Goodrich. He's not a Saints fan. So I'm curious why he took Kamara at the number 2 spot. But, I mean, I'm more than happy to take Saquon at number 3. The pick that really surprised me the most is the Michael Thomas being taken before Zeke Elliott.
Yeah, I think a lot of people at 1-4 are kind of lined up with Michael Thomas, probably because they think McCaffrey, Barkley, Elliott are going 1-2-3.
Yep.
And then maybe he didn't realize that, or maybe he just didn't understand that Zeke was there. I don't know. I like a Michael Thomas as a wide receiver there, but man, not ahead of Zeke.
Yeah, I'm looking at all these running backs. So far we've had 16 picks, 17 picks, and of the 17 picks, 3 wide receivers, 14 running backs. So I'm thrilled, honestly, right now. Because I know I'm going to get some top flight talent at the 210 that should be going before some of these running backs.
So I wanted to bring up Dalvin Cook and Adam Schefter's tweet that if he doesn't have a contract signed, that he might be sitting out. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
So anything's possible, especially now with the new CBA where they can't hold out in the offseason like this without losing a ton of money. But I think even if he holds out during the regular season, it's a little different under this contract where he doesn't get time accrued even if he comes back midseason. So holding out doesn't help him as much as it used to. I think I expect to see Dalvin Cook there, but I guess you are playing with fire, right? Anytime there's a contract issue, you never know what a player is going to think. So it'll be interesting to me.
Well, with this weird season, and one of my concerns has actually shown up with the Broncos. The Broncos have now, the training camp has turned into a MASH unit with 11 guys out on injury today. And our coach was talking about his concern about, players coming back and the injuries happening because of the lack of, any prior activities going on. And I'm concerned about seeing a lot more injuries. And I'm wondering if Dalvin Cook, who is injury prone, might be concerned about playing this year if he doesn't have a contract.
I mean, he'd have to fake an injury. I don't know that. I mean, players, I guess, would do it. I guess I don't see it. So talking about this draft, Fallon took Davante Adams. I took Julio Jones, Austin Eckler, Kenyon Drake, Aaron Jones, Tyreek Hill, David Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, James Conner, Chris Godwin to George, Travis Kelce, and Chris Carson to SBAC. So in this round, we see a little bit more of wide receivers going, but a lot of two running backs. Dalvin Cook owner took David Johnson. I'm not sure that I'm a big fan there. You've got two, like we said, because of possible holdout, maybe injury with Dalvin Cook. You know, you followed up with David Johnson, who was nothing special last year. I do like his situation, but I'm not a big fan of David Johnson at 2.7. George, what do you think?
No, not a big fan of David Johnson at 2.7. Not a big fan of James Conner at 2.9. Not a big fan of Chris Carson at 2.12. I understand why Steve took him there, because getting another quality running back on the way back is at this point is going to be very slim, and we do have to start two. But a lot of these running backs I think are going way too early. I feel like my hand was forced to take Le'Veon Bell at 3.3. Just because of how many picks I would have to go again before I got another opportunity to draft a running back, and the way they were flying off the board, like I can only zig while everybody else zags so much before I'm hurt. So I went with the running back at 3.3, but I don't like Le'Veon Bell at the beginning of the third. I don't like Chris Carson at the end of the second, Connor in the second, Johnson in the second. I'm just not a big fan of that whole tier of running backs.
I've got to say, here's where I'm at right now. There's two trains of thought for me. Like, one is you have to stay be fluid in these, because if everybody's taking running backs, that means there's a lot of wide receiver talent available. But at the same time, it also means that running back talent is drying up. So it's one of those mixes of, okay, there's still a ton of wide receiver talent, but there's also not a lot of running back talent. So I'm right now where I'm at. I've got Miles Sanders, Julio Jones, and Mike Evans is still on the board. Adam Thielen, Odell Beckham Jr. There's a lot of good wide receivers here. Running backs are pretty thin. The next highest ranked in here is Mark Ingram. That's because guys like Montgomery and Melvin Gordon went in the third round instead of the fourth round. Todd Gurley went at the beginning of the third instead of at the end. You know what I'm going to do here, and it's opposite of what I normally do. I am going to take George Kittle here, because I think while all the running backs are gone, he gives you such a positional advantage that I'm going to take advantage of that and draft him here. I've got Miles Sanders, Julio Jones, and now George Kittle.
So, and I was going to ask you if you were open to taking George Kittle at that pick, knowing that it's the turn pick there. You got Fallon with two, and then it comes right back to you. I was curious if you were entertaining George Kittle at all. So I thought that was a good pick. I actually thought about taking him at 3.3. But again, like you mentioned, with everybody just slamming the running back as heavy as they've gone, I felt like I was forced to take a second running back before I wanted to.
Well, so and here's where we are now. Fallon took Mark Ingram and Kareem Hunt. So the next highest ranked in here is Jonathan Taylor, and we are in round four. But the other thing is everybody's taking running backs. And while it's possible a bunch more running backs go off the board, what's likely to happen is now we're about to hit a wide receiver run. Correct. So even though I only have Miles Sanders as a running back, I'm going to roll the dice and see how it goes. I'm going to take Mike Evans here and start with Julio Jones, Mike Evans, Miles Sanders, and George Kittle. And we'll see where we are when we come back to running back, because as far as values go for me, the value is all in wide receiver right now, and the value in running back is completely gone.
Yeah, there's no value at all in running back at this minute.
So that's how I've started. Let's recap the third. It's DJ Moore, Leonard Fournette, Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, Patrick Mahomes, David Montgomery, Melvin Gordon, Kenny Galladay, Lamar Jackson, Allen Robinson, George Kittle, and Mark Ingram. So George, right now, you have Saquon Barkley, Chris Godwin, and Le'Veon Bell. I know you said you're disappointed in the Le'Veon Bell pick, but how do you feel about the start of your team?
I feel good. I was kind of surprised to be able to get Chris Godwin at 210. I didn't think he would he'd make it that far. Most of these drafts I've done on Monday, he doesn't last that long. He goes a couple picks beforehand. But just like we mentioned, there's so many running backs that are going that are being, in my opinion, they're all being overdrafted, that it's pushing fantastic value down the board as far as wide receivers go. The next two picks I'm coming up on, I'm probably going to hammer the wide receiver because the value is just too great.
And I think that's probably what everybody else is going to end up doing. I do want to mention that I am not an early quarterback guy. Patrick Mahomes went 3-5 and Lamar Jackson went 3-9. If Lamar Jackson had fallen to me at 3-11, I think that's where he starts becoming a value with his rushing ability, with his throwing ability. I like him late in the third. I won't take him in the second or the first, which is something you see in some of your home leagues, but probably not something you're going to see in these mock drafts with a bunch of people that know what they're doing.
Correct. Fallon, how do you feel about the start of your team?
Well, I was thinking on Jason's strategy, I should go wide receiver. And then I just went running back out of like almost autopilot. And I'm kind of kicking myself now. I'm thinking, though, on the other hand, still seeing the running backs going off the board, you know, I don't hate my team. I don't love it. I think I've done better drafts I can tell so far, though I'm not hating it, but I'm not loving it.
So Fallon's team is Nick Chubb, Devontae Adams, Mark Ingram, and Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt's a couple of rounds early. Mark Ingram's a couple of rounds early, but all these running backs have gone early. George, you're up now. What are you thinking about?
I'm letting the clock run down a little bit just so we can have some time to talk. I already said I'm going to pound the wide receiver here. I already know who I'm taking. Top rated right now on the board is Amari Cooper. That's not where I'm going. I'm actually going to go with AJ Brown. I have exactly zero shares of AJ Brown in any league. So I want to get a share, even if it's in a mock. So that's where I was leaning, was AJ Brown.
I would have gone Calvin Ridley there. I like Calvin Ridley this year. In the fourth round, I think he's going to have a huge season. The one pick I really like is Robert Woods at 4-6. Robert Woods is going to be a beast this year. And that's the mid-round value of wide receivers. Now, again, we got to it in a little bit of a weird way because running backs have completely gone off the board. This is the earliest I've ever seen Ronald Jones go. Ronald Jones went 4-8. Now, he is rocketing up the board.
He's
because
flying up the scoreboard, the draft boards.
And also what you still have is somebody like Steve, who no matter how many running backs he has, he's still going to take one. Devin Singletary goes off the board. So right now in the fourth round, it went Kareem Hunt, Mike Evans, Adam Thielen, Odell Beckham Jr., Jonathan Taylor, Robert Woods, DK Metcalf, Ronald Jones, Juju Smith-Schuster, AJ Brown, Calvin Ridley, and Devin Singletary. Now, George, you're up again. You're gonna hammer another wide receiver?
I am going to hammer another wide receiver, and I'm going to take somebody that I also have zero shares of. Right now, Amari Cooper's still on the board. Cooper Kupp's on the board. Keenan Allen's still on the board. I like Keenan Allen a lot. I like him this year. I don't really care too much for Tyrod Taylor saying, oh, you know, his quarterback's Tyrod Taylor. That doesn't bother me none at all. Like, Keenan Allen is a very good wide receiver. He's not a deep threat wide receiver. So having Tyrod Taylor, who's going to dink and dunk, is not, you know, anything that worries me. But I want to have fun with this draft. I want to get players who I think are fun. So I'm going to take Terry McLaurin.
I knew you were going to take him.
Yep. I don't have I have no shares of Terry McLaurin in any league. I have no shares of AJ Brown. I want to have a little fun with my wide receivers. I have no shares of Chris Godwin either. So I got a couple guys I got no shares of that I do like.
So I love Terry McLaurin, the talent. I hate Terry McLaurin, the team.
Yeah.
The Washington football team. It's tough when Dwayne Haskins is the quarterback. It's tough when the negativity surrounding that team and a weird name change. So I don't know, man. I love the talent. I hate the situation. That's why it's tough for me on McLaurin this year.
I was listening to Matt Harmon from Reception Perception talk about Terry McLaurin. He said Terry McLaurin has one of the best reception perceptions that he's done in like the last 3 or 4 years.
And I believe it. Like I said, the talent is great, but if you had him last year, especially towards the end of the year when Haskins was there, and Haskins was a rookie and maybe he's improved and maybe they've worked together, the biggest problem wasn't that McLaurin didn't get open. The biggest problem was Haskins couldn't find him. If McLaurin wasn't his first read, he never saw him. And that's the biggest problem for me with him.
I don't know. I think the talent ultimately wins out. I'm willing to take it. In his rookie year, I mean, he had almost 1,000 yards. He had 7 touchdowns. I get a lot of that was more towards the beginning of the year. He also got injured, which I think that played a little bit into him coming off a little bit at the tail end of the year. He was a little banged up. So I'll roll the dice on it. He's my third wide receiver.
And I took Keenan Allen in the 5th round, which I think is almost criminal. We had a slight run of tight ends. Darren Waller went off at 5'6", Mark Andrews at 5'8", and Zach Ertz at 5'9". And we've got Fallon, who took Cortland Sutton at 5'12", and Dak Prescott at 6'1".
I have not seen Dak go in the 6th round in any draft this year.
I've seen him go that late in single quarterbacks like this one. I have not seen him go that late, clearly, in Superflex.
So I just realized that after she picked, it's my turn.
Yes, it is.
So it says for me to take Raheem Mostert. I am not a fan of Raheem Mostert. I like his talent. And again, situation, he'll probably run for a bunch of yards, but you'll never know week to week whether it's going to be him or one of the other running backs there. I'm going to take a rookie for the Rams. I'm going to take Cam Akers as my second running back off the board.
Not a bad pick.
Listen, he's a starter.
Is he?
I think so. I mean, Daryl had...
Is he? Is he, though? Do we know this as a fact?
What I do know is my options there were Raheem Mostert, James White, Cam Akers, and I don't know that any of them are starters.
Correct.
You don't get down to Jordan Howard until you know you might have a starter, and even then, Matt Breida's going to get eaten up. So we'll see how it ends up going. There's one guy I'm hoping comes back to me all the way at 7-11, but I'm not sure that's going to happen with the way running backs have been flying off the board.
Don't worry. I'm going to take Darius Geis. You don't have to worry about it.
I think the corrections facility took him for us.
Actually, they did not. They probably should have, though.
All right. So in the 5th round, DJ Chark, Tyler Lockett, Terry McLaurin, Cooper Kupp, Amari Cooper, Darren Waller, DeAndre Swift, Mark Andrews, Zach Ertz, AJ Green, Keenan Allen, and Cortland Sutton. The one surprise for me is Darren Waller going ahead of Andrews and Ertz. I'm low on Waller. Does anybody here, Fallon, George, can you sell me on Waller or is my being low on him founded?
I think you shouldn't be as low as you are on him. They brought in a bunch of rookies. Their starter Tyrell Williams is dealing with a serious foot injury right now. And even though he says he's going to try to play through it, I'm not sure he's going to be able to. So I like Waller. I think he's going to be a target monster. He's going to be involved in that offense. It's very possible he leads the Vegas Raiders in targets this year.
So We talked about this. We've talked about it a few times. My biggest problem, and I know everybody says all he has is for competition is rookies, but last year his competition was a rookie. And when Hunter Renfrow was on the field, he lost 20 yards a couple of receptions every game Hunter Renfrow was on the field. You know, when you say all he has is rookies, well, that hurt him last year, and now there's more of them. A lot more of them.
And you know what those rookies had? You know what those rookies had last year? Not just talent, but they had minicamp, they had OTAs, they had a preseason, they actually had, you know, regularly scheduled practices. They had opportunities to work with the quarterback. Like, almost everything that this year's rookie class doesn't have, they had last year.
That's what makes me worried about any rookie this year. I mean, granted, the running back, they just need to learn the routes, not, you know, and not as much as the wide receivers and that connection. Though I'm in a redraft league, I'm really hesitant on going rookies.
I don't mind taking rookie running backs because it's an easier transition.
Right. That's what I just said.
I know. And I was agreeing with you. Yeah. But I won't take rookie wide receivers or quarterbacks. Just won't do it.
And listen, I'm not saying go out and take the Raiders wide receivers, but what I am saying is Derek Carr can hit any of those guys over the middle like they do Darren Waller, just like they did last year with Hunter Renfrow.
I think Darren Waller is going to be top 10. I'm surprised he went before Mark Andrews and Zach Ertz.
I don't have him
that early, but I think he'll be a top tight end.
Yeah, I would have took Mark Andrews before him. I would have took Zach. Clearly, I would have taken Zach Ertz before him. I would have took Zach Ertz before Mark Andrews and Waller. I have Zach Ertz as the number three tight end again this year.
I actually traded Ertz for Waller with Hoos, and I regret it.
You should.
Although there's another piece in that, but there was another guy in there, but I'm kind of kicking myself.
So I think Waller is top five, top 10 because of the lack of actual skill at the position. But, you know, like we talked about, obviously Kelce and Kittle are ahead. Mark Andrews and Zach Ertz are ahead. I put Hayden Hurst ahead. The amount of targets that Austin Hooper got last year from Matt Ryan was insane. And that's only going to get, I think, better because Hayden Hurst is a better tight end than Austin Hooper was.
I disagree. So,
see, I love Hayden Hurst in Atlanta, and I hate Austin Hooper in Cleveland.
Let's recap round six. Dak Prescott 6-1, Cam Akers 6-2, Jarvis Landry 6-3, T.Y. Hilton 6-4, Marquise Brown 6-5, J.K. Dobbins 6-6, Devontae Parker 6-7, Jordan Howard 6-8, Kyler Murray 6-9, Evan Ingram 6-10, Russell Wilson 6-11, and Deebo Samuel 6-12.
I'll tell you what, there's one pick I hate, one pick I love in that round. I do not like the J.K. Dobbins. I don't think he's going to be much of anything this year. But I love the Deebo Samuel because, granted, he's injured and he's expected back the first week. I predict he's going to probably come back around the third week. But at that point, he's already got two great wide receivers. So I'm loving Deebo Samuel because he's got another wide receiver one in the sixth round. Granted, later in the season, once he comes back.
I don't see Deebo Samuel as a wide receiver one. I don't have him as a top 12. He's barely pushing top 24 for me. I've got him at 23. Where do you got him at, Jason?
Oh man, I'd have to go look, but I think it was late, especially with him missing games early. It was in the mid-20s. I don't have the stats right in front of me, but I want to say between like 23, 26, 27, something like that. I think I'm a little lower than you are, George, but I do like the team that Steve's putting together with Christian McCaffrey, Chris Carson, DJ Moore, Devin Singletary, DJ Chark, Deebo Samuel, and Tyler Boyd. I'm not big on Deebo Samuel. Like I said, like we talked about earlier, Chris Carson was early, but all running backs went early. I really like the team he's building.
I don't.
No.
No. Not a huge fan of of the Devin Singletary pick. Now, I get that, you know, running backs were flying. He had to grab a, you know, he wanted to grab another running back there. But I think you're going to see a lot of Moss in Buffalo. I do like the first two picks, Carson and McCaffrey. I like DJ Moore. I like Chark. My concern with Deebo Samuel is what prevents us from seeing an AJ Green from last year. Like, everything we've read is AJ Green's going to come back after a couple of weeks. He's going to come back after a couple of weeks, and he sat out the whole year. Like, we've seen that type of move pulled before, and it's not just AJ Green. It's been multiple players. So I don't draft Deebo Samuel unless it's an extreme value. I don't draft him in the sixth round. I thought there was wide receivers that went after him I'd rather have. I'd rather have Deontay Johnson. I'd rather Michael Gallup. I'd rather Stephon Diggs. I'm coming around and warming up to Brandon Cooks. But I think I might have taken Deebo over Cooks, but it's really, really close.
Oh, man. And Fallon just took the player I wanted, Marvin Jones, so that she sniped me hard right there.
That's okay. You have to guess the three games a year to start him.
Well, so he was going to be my player. Now I'm going to end up with another running back, a guy that I'm taking probably too early. But we talked about maybe there's a starting running back in Washington. They're saying good things. I'm going to take Antonio Gibson.
Nice.
So to recap our teams, let's do through eight. Fallon's got Nick Chubb, Devontae Adams, Mark Ingram, Kareem Hunt, Cortland Sutton, Dak Prescott, Alexander Mattison, and Marvin Jones. Who's your favorite pick there?
My favorite pick is Dak Prescott. Just because I got him in the sixth round, I haven't seen him go that early, and I've got one share in all my leagues of him, and I just like how he followed me. And if he didn't follow me, I would have gone later on a quarterback. I would have gone cornerback at that point, but I really like Dak.
For me, I've got Miles Sanders, Julio Jones, George Kittle, Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, Cam Akers, Tariq Cohen, and Antonio Gibson. My favorite pick there is George Kittle in the third. I think it's crazy value, but I do want to talk about grabbing Tariq Cohen. I am a Tariq Cohen guy this year. I think Tariq Cohen is going to be RB2. I think that's where I have him, and he's going in the seventh round. George, what do you think?
The only thing that would prevent him from doing that is David Montgomery taking a step forward. The coaching staff did misuse him big time last year. He's also got to stay healthy, though. If he stays healthy, I can see him definitely being a low-end RB2, especially in PPR formats. Guys like him, James White, I think they're just criminally undervalued in PPR formats. You can get them so late, and every week they're going to go out and give you solid production week in, week out.
So, George, another thing I want to mention, and we're going to get to your team. You know, a lot of quarterbacks off the board right now. It looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the 12 teams have gotten quarterbacks. You worried, George? You rushing to get a quarterback?
I'm actually going to take one here.
Who you got? Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And I'm like you. I like to take my quarterbacks late. Matt Ryan was the last quarterback in the tier that I had. We all like Julio. We all like Calvin Ridley. Look how early Todd Gurley's going. The defense is atrocious in Atlanta, so I expect them to be airing it out quite a bit. So with him being the last quarterback in my tier, I'm happy to grab Matt Ryan at the back of the eighth round there.
So here's why I haven't gone quarterback yet, and by the time it gets back to me, I'll probably go. It's because Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, and Matthew Stafford are all still available.
And let me say this. Matthew Stafford is Jason's kind of quarterback.
He is absolutely going to be my quarterback if he's there when I pick at 9-11. So I just got to clear a couple of people that don't have quarterbacks, and he will be mine. But Matthew Stafford is a guy who last year, before he was hurt, was throwing the ball all over the field at a record pace. If he can stay healthy week in and week out, he's going to be a great starter. And I'm going to be happy taking him in the ninth round versus taking Russell Wilson in the sixth.
I'm just shocked to see that George picked Philip Lindsay. For all the taunting I get for Lindsay, I see Lindsay on his team. That's just astonishing.
Fallon, ask me why I took Philip Lindsay.
Because you didn't want me to have him.
Correct.
And now, these are things that I would recommend you do in this type of draft, and maybe not so much in your own draft. I'm just saying.
No, so I like...
Watch him take Lazard next. He's going to probably go snipe Lazard for me, too.
No, I took the potential starting running back in Washington and Bryce Love.
He's getting a lot of love.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he is.
I'm not a huge Antonio Gibson guy. Guy only ran the ball 33 times in college. He's not a running back. I hate to say that, but he's just not. Bryce Love, before he blew out his ACL. And listen, I have an affinity for guys who get injured. For some reason, if you get injured and you're coming back, most likely I'll put you on my team. I don't care. I'll take that dice. It burns me every single time. But I like the comeback story, so I want those guys on my team. But Bryce Love, before he blew his ACL, was really freaking good in college. So I'll take the dice. It's the ninth round. I took Lindsey not just because I wanted to mess with Fallon. I figured at that point he was the best value as far as running backs go on the board. The only one I might have considered was Raheem Mostert, but I didn't want to play the guessing game between Mostert and Tevin Coleman and
McKinnon
and
Jeff Wilson.
I didn't want to play those games.
So I am gonna mess with Fallon because I'm gonna take Alan Lazard here. I'll trade you later for Marvin Jones.
Oh, you are. Did you just take him just to be a jerk?
I mean, I took him because I needed a wide receiver, and I think he's gonna be a good one. That, and I knew you weren't gonna take my next pick, so I'm perfectly happy taking him here.
He doesn't think you're gonna take Matt Stafford, Fallon.
You know, I just might.
I mean, listen, you—if you can go ahead and take a second quarterback in one quarterback league,
I'm going to reach for my tight end, but I want my guy, so I reached for Jonnu Smith.
So, and let me explain to the people listening at home what Jason just did. He looked at who was picking after him, which was Fallon, and he said, "She's got Dak Prescott. I really want Matt Stafford, but I'm going to roll the dice and pick Alan Lazard because I do also need a wide receiver, knowing the odds of Fallon taking a quarterback, a second quarterback at that in a single quarterback league are very, very slim. That is something you should be always doing in your leagues at home is pay attention to who picks after you. What are their needs? What are their strengths? And if you need a quarterback, but they already have one, and you don't think they're going to take a second, you can push the quarterback or whatever the positional player is to your next pick. That was classic by Jason.
Especially when you're picking at 11 or 2. I mean, it works anywhere on the board, right? But especially when you're picking at 11, I know she's only got 2 picks and she's got a quarterback. There's no chance she's taking a second one. And you can play that game with running backs and wide receivers. It can be a little more dangerous, but she's not taking a quarterback, especially at Matt Stafford's level.
I almost took Matt Stafford just because I knew you were going to take him, but I decided not to be spiteful.
So it's been a couple of rounds since we've gone over the teams. George, we didn't do yours on the last one. George, you've got Saquon Barkley, Chris Godwin, Le'Veon Bell, AJ Brown, Terry McLaurin, Evan Engram, Philip Lindsay, Matt Ryan, and Bryce Love. Anything jump out at you as insane value?
I like the Evan Engram pick at 6'10". I have Evan Engram right now as my tight end number 4. I have Kelsey.
Ooh, you're higher than oof.
I have Kelsey, Kittle, Ertz, Engram, Andrews, Waller. That's my orders for tight end. Every year, Evan Engram is a fantastic tight end. The only issue is him staying healthy. If he could stay healthy, he would be up there amongst, you know, the top 3 to 4 tight ends. I've got him slotted in as the 5th. I like the connection him and Danny Dimes has together. So I don't mind taking it. Like him and Daniel Jones do have a connection. I needed a tight end. I didn't like Hayden Hurst, and I didn't want to wait to get one of the dart throws later. I wanted to get somebody I could plug in, week out, and feel confident about.
I like it. I like Evan Engram this year as well. Again, he's another one of those guys that has to stay healthy, though.
Yeah.
So we did finally have 2 quarterbacks selected where Flash Fantasy has Drew Brees and now selected Daniel Jones.
Which really makes no sense. Like, what week are you going to bench Drew Brees for Daniel Jones?
It's not going to be early, I can tell you that.
No, it's not. Because by week four, Daniel Jones will be on the waiver wire.
So I've got to say, the Giants' schedule, and I'm getting to it now. I should have had it up because I was going to go on this rant. Has the Steelers, the Bears, the Niners, and the Rams first four. Those are not easy defenses to pass against. And I think Daniel Jones may have a good game here and there. But, man, I wouldn't start him against the Steelers. I wouldn't start him against the Bears. And I wouldn't start him against the Niners.
Nope. And that's why I like Evan Engram. Like, he's going to want somebody to throw the ball to underneath. And I think that guy will be Evan Engram.
I agree. So I'm not liking Daniel Jones, especially as a second quarterback when there's still quality players out there. But again, I'm not a two quarterback guy in a one quarterback league. Because as far as quarterbacks go, after your first guy, Aaron Rodgers is still there. Josh Allen's still there. Cam Newton's still there as a spot start. Joe Burrow is going to have some decent games when he plays bad defenses because they're going to be behind. He's going to have to throw. Jared Goff is a spot start. Like, I'm not saying any of those guys you want week in and week out, but if you've got a quarterback already, I'm not sure why you take a second quarterback there.
Correct.
Fallon, I know you said you're not loving my Lazard pick. I've got to ask you, though, Jalen Reagor in the 10th round. What was the thought process there?
That was more intuition thinking that I don't know if I love it or not. I was just thinking he's going to see some time because there's not that much. I'm not excited about the wide receivers in Philly right now. And
I mean, there are no wide receivers in Philly, but we were just talking about rookies not having.
I know. It's also the 10th round. So I'm not like. What killed me is I saw Preston Williams go off the board, and I'm like, oh, shoot, I made a mistake.
And that was from George. That was a very good pick.
Yeah, I didn't want to admit that George was right on that pick, but he was on the right side of history there.
If Steve doesn't take my next pick, you're going to like the next one even better.
Who's your next pick?
Oh, we'll see.
Oh, it's gonna be Golden Tate, probably.
No, way too early. We'll see. I got a couple picks.
It's actually not that early. Looking at which wide receivers are left, it's Jerry Jeudy, Deshaun Jackson, Anthony Miller, Sammy Watkins, Golden Tate. It's not that early.
Yeah, Jerry Jeudy got injured pretty bad on Sunday. He's one of the 11.
So Tony Pollard goes off the board. George, I'm assuming that wasn't who you were going to take.
No. I've got my guy queued up, criminally undervalued. I think it's got a lot to do with the quarterback, but I'm willing to roll the dice. He's coming off.
Yeah, he's going to be healthy for about 3 or 4 games.
The guy I'm getting ready to pick, he had a 1,000-yard season last year, only had 2 touchdowns, but the year before that, he had like 800 yards and 10 touchdowns. I'm going to roll with him. Mike Williams.
Oh, I'm sorry. I read Tevin Coleman right before you wrong. I was like, wait a second. Nope. I read that.
Told you, I didn't want the San Francisco running backs.
Yeah, so Mike Williams is a guy who has boom potential.
Yep.
I don't know that he has boom potential with Tyrod Taylor, who doesn't seem to throw the ball down the field, but we'll see.
My question about that is, who did Tyrod Taylor have to throw the ball to in Buffalo?
It's a solid point. I'm just, you know, is a 5 year older Tyrod Taylor going to change just because he has somebody to throw it deep to?
I think given the talent he has around him, he will play better. Their defense is one of the best in the NFL right now. I expect a lot out of that team. They only lost a handful of games last year by a couple of points. And that was with Phillip Rivers, who his accuracy was just atrocious. His efficiency was horrible. I think Tyrod Taylor will be an upgrade from Phillip Rivers this year.
And I think Justin Herbert's going to take over. He's not going to start, but I think I see him take over.
As long as the Los Angeles Chargers are in playoff contention, Herbert will not see the field. If Tyrod Taylor keeps them in contention, he will be the starting quarterback week in, week out. If they get eliminated from the playoffs or they're just, they come out the gate and are just really, really, really bad, then yeah, we'll see Herbert.
All right, and we did see our second quarterback come off in a one quarterback league. Josh Allen went to G. Scott, who also has Tom Brady.
So, Jason, I got a question for you. Being sure. A Bucks fan, what's your thought on Rob Gronkowski this year?
I would love to see a resurgence of Rob Gronkowski. You could see a little bit of it because Tom Brady trusts him. And like we've talked about with limited camp, it's somebody that he trusts to catch the ball. But I think he's going to be a back end tight end number one, only because the position's such a wasteland after you get past the top five, top six guys. So, yeah, I mean, I think he'll end up with a decent stat line at the end of the year, but he's not going to be somebody you want to start week in and week out. They still have OJ Howard who can play. Let's see if he actually does play. And the fact of the matter is that Arian's system doesn't lend itself to tight end usage. So there's a lot of things going against Rob Gronkowski. And the only thing he's got going for him is the familiarity with Brady.
Right.
Yeah. So, I could see Gronkowski finishing with a stat line of 650 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Yeah, I was going to, and you'd be thrilled to get 650. I was going to say right around 700 yards, 5 touchdowns. So we're kind of in the same.
Yeah, we're in the ballpark.
So, and listen, you'd be thrilled to get him at those stat numbers. So I'm up now. I've got Miles Sanders, Cam Akers, Tariq Cohen, and Antonio Gibson as my running backs. I'm going to continue my trend of questionable running backs, and I'm going to take Keyshawn Vaughn here. I'm not going to do it right away because I want to be able to talk about it. I do think back half of the year Keyshawn Vaughn is going to take over this role. I think it's Rojo. Rojo's getting a lot of praise in camp, but also dropping a lot of passes, and you can only do that so many times before Tom Brady just hangs his head and tells the coach to get this guy out of here. I like some of what Rojo can do as a running back, but the problem is he's just that bad of a pass catcher and not a guy that Tom Brady can rely on. I know they have Shady McCoy there, and that may early Shady might be there, but he just looks spent last year when he played in Kansas City and was a healthy scratch for most of the games at the end of the season last year. I think he's done. So I'm going to take Keyshawn Vaughn and see what happens.
Yeah, Shady couldn't get playing time over Darwin Thompson last year. I'm not sure why people think he will get playing time this year over younger, healthier guys.
See, I'm liking Boston Scott. I have a good feeling about him this year. Because really in Philly, other than Miles, who else is there?
Nobody. Boston Scott, he's going to have a role there. Some people are saying he'll take over the starter's position from Miles Sanders. Those people are the people you don't want to listen to. That's just silliness.
No, I don't. I think Miles Sanders is going to have the starting role. I don't think he's going to take over, but God forbid something happens to him. And, you know, in the 11.12 pick, you know, he's a good flex position, especially later in the season.
So looking at all these picks, there is a guy here that I'm going to take, being that it's the 12th round. I don't know if he's going to be anything. He wasn't great last year, but who knows? I am going to actually take Sony Michel, who's on the PUP list, the PUP list now. But I think he's a very good late round talent. He's been a starter in the league. So in the 12th round, it's early, but only because all the running backs went super early. That hasn't changed as we've gone through this draft. So I want to take Sony Michel late in all my drafts just to roll the dice. He's a guy I think I can roll the dice on.
You know, I think he's going to do really well this year in New England once he gets healthy. If he gets healthy. I mean, this is a weird year anyways, though. I'm actually liking him more and more this year than any other year. So,
George,
I think that's a good pick.
I don't hate players. I hate ADPs. In previous years, Sony Michel was all the hype, going way too early. You'd have to spend the 4th, 5th round pick on him, and he would disappoint completely. I'm not sold that Sonny Michel is going to be healthy to start the season. There is talk about him putting him on the PUP, and that could be coach speak, but when they bring in another running back in Lamar Miller, that just leads me to believe it's a little bit more than just coach speak, that there's more there than what we're being told. And it would 100% be a New England thing to be deceptive and not forthcoming about player injuries. So I want
Bill Belichick. No,
I know it's ridiculous. It's
shocking.
I'm just making stuff up. I'm besmirching the honorable name of Bill William Belichick. I don't know if that's his middle name. I just made it up. But
I was gonna say, if you knew that, I'd be impressed.
I just made up. Get it, Bill William. Come on, man. That just rolls right. Bill. I want nothing to do with Sonny Michel. I think there was a reason he fell to the 12th round. Like, you don't get a starting running back in the 12th round, especially the way this particular draft has been going. So I think there's a lot more going on with Sonny Michel than we are led to believe. Between them bringing in Lamar Miller, and they're kind of talking up a little bit about Damian Harris there, I just kind of want to avoid that situation altogether. There's two teams I really don't want much to do with their running backs. It's San Francisco and New England, just because San Francisco has a ton of good ones, and New England, outside of James White, like, you don't know.
And just for the record, it's Bill Steven Belichick.
Thank you for the clarification on that. I do appreciate it.
So his initials are BS.
That makes sense.
That's awesome.
That makes total sense. I don't doubt it one bit. It's logical. It's got a good foundation. Yeah, Bill Belichick is BS.
Only the truth here. Only the truth. So, George, you are up in the 12th. Where are you going?
I'm going running back. There is a running back who I believe is along the ilks of the guys we had mentioned earlier, the James White. You know, those PPR running backs, and that is Nyheim Hines. I think he's criminally undervalued. I believe he is a James White, a Tariq Cohen type running back. Has a solid role. He's got a pass catching role in Indianapolis. I'm willing to roll the dice with Nyheim Hines this late in the 12th round.
He is definitely the third down back there, right? So Taylor and Mack are going to be fighting for first and second down work. I think Nyheim Hines has the third down work kind of all locked up. So that's not a bad pick. It's in the 12th round, you're getting a guy with a defined role, and that's pretty much all you want from a running back at this point.
Correct. He's been going so late in almost all of my drafts. Like, I have no problem taking Nyheim Hines this late.
So I'm just looking here to see if anybody is without a quarterback. I think everybody's got one now. So we're getting to that point in the draft where people are getting their picks selected for them.
Has N'Keal Harry showed up to practice yet? Because I was reading that and he took a few days off.
I have not seen, but I do not follow.
Yeah, I have not seen that either. But I mean, it very well could have happened. I haven't heard or seen that.
Dallas Goedert, I was going to grab him. 12th round, that's criminal.
You shouldn't grab him. You're right. That is criminal. Please don't touch him.
Oh, just be quiet. You want my shares of him. I know you do.
No, I don't.
So according to top stories, N'Keal Harry is the standout today in their camp. So he is actually there, and according to this, he is standing out. Now, Steve did something that I'm mad at him about and took Paris Campbell in the 13th. That was one of my targets. I think Paris Campbell is poised to take over the T.Y. Hilton role as T.Y. Hilton's starting to get older. He's bigger, he's a little bit faster, and he's a whole lot younger. He didn't show a lot last year. He was injured. I really like Paris Campbell in the 13th. Another good value.
I think in a couple of years, like 1 or 2 years, yes. I don't think he's taking over that T.Y. role this year.
Not this year, maybe next year.
Yep. In due time. Third-year breakouts are a thing for a reason, so maybe 2 years from now, but I don't see it this year.
I'm just looking over the wide receivers that are left, and I feel like that's a very good pick.
It's another a good pick, absolutely.
There's another guy. There's actually two guys here that I'm looking at. I won't say it because George is on the clock. Not, he probably knows.
I'm not going to take Corey Davis. He's all yours.
Well, now I'm going to have to take him in the 13th instead of the 14th, so Fallon doesn't snag him. But
now I already got my last two guys picked out, so I won't snag him.
Yeah, I see a couple of guys here that I'm pretty excited about still, just as late round guys. You took Noah Fant?
I did.
You want to talk about having a second tight end?
Yeah. Evan Engram isn't exactly the picture of health, so if he's not healthy, I'm going to need a backup tight end.
Yeah, I think my only issue there is I don't see Noah Fant as anything higher than Austin Hooper or Blake Jarwin, for that matter. I even have a little tiny crush on Eric Ebron in Pittsburgh, like a small, super late, if you have a deep bench kind of crush. And I think at this point with tight ends, I would likely just be leaning on streaming after Evan Engram gets hurt. It's not like you're going to want to start Noah Fant week in and week out, right? So no. I probably would let him go for a higher upside guy and just stream, but everybody does their draft different. So I get what you're doing.
Yeah, I wanted a second tight end just in case. I mean, we all know Evan Engram does have a history of not being able to make it to every game. So, and I do kind of like Noah Fant.
Has he finished a complete season yet?
Yeah, he's been in the league for 4 years now. He's played four.
I know, but has seasons. He played a full? I know, but has he finished a full season without getting injured?
Oh, I'll have to look.
I think the answer there is no. Actually, one of my guys that I was looking at, Breshad Perriman, just went 13-7. And really, all it is I'm looking at really high upside guys this late, seeing if I can find somebody that will give you big weeks.
I think Perriman's a really good guy. I mean, they lost Robbie Anderson to free agency. And, you know, that means there's about 52 receptions still up for grabs. You know, the rookie Mims will take some of that. But I think that's a really high upside, that especially that late in the round.
Fallon, to answer your question, in 2017, Evan Engram played 15 games, and that was the most he's played. So he has not played a full 16-game season.
Has Gronk ever played a full 16-game season?
Yes. Yes, he has.
Yes, absolutely.
One, right?
No, a couple. It was only later in his career where he was injury-prone. He's had a couple of 16-game seasons. And the thing about Gronk, especially when he was young, it didn't matter. If he had 13 games, he was still the tight end one.
Correct.
Right.
So in 2010, 2011, he had 16-game seasons. In 2011, he had 90 catches, 1,327 yards, and 17 touchdowns. Like, he just destroyed everybody who played against him that year. It was just an amazing
thing. Wasn't Hernandez still there at that time? I mean, weren't those two, 2011,
I believe so.
Yeah, in 2010 and 11, I mean, those two were just, like, destroyers.
Yeah, and then 2014, 2015, he had 15 game seasons. So he's played a couple near full seasons. The problem with that is in New England is he's so big and he gets so much play that he's like a battering ram. And other teams know, take out his knees. He's got bad knees.
So another one of my high upside guys, John Brown, goes.
John Brown, I just got sniped.
Yeah, he was going to be selected. So I am going to turn around and take one of the guys I take late in every draft, and I say this a lot, but I am going to take
Corey Davis.
Corey Davis. Listen, I'm one of the few.
I thought you were kidding.
No, I'm one of the few that still has hopes for Corey Davis, and I am going to take him.
Jason's hoping for that DeVante Parker fifth-year breakout.
Yes, I kind of am. And then here's the thing. Corey Davis is opposite of A.J. Brown. He actually has a full season playing with Tannehill now. Tannehill, oh, you took Phillip Rivers.
I was just going to see if you saw that.
That is.
I was going to have fun with this draft. That would never happen in a real draft, but I just thought I'd have fun tonight.
I mean.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
You know, I have an option for this draft to turn it into an actual league.
Yeah, do that. So she actually has him.
Yes.
I just wondered what you'd say if I drafted him. I was thinking, I was actually, if it was a real draft, I was going to go Blake Jarwin. But I just thought I'd have fun and just do Philip Rivers, because that's someone you guys know I would never, ever, ever in a real world draft.
Yeah, this is a real world draft, by the way. I'm turning this into a league.
So with my last pick, I'm going to go ahead and get a little small, crappy piece of the Kansas City offense, and I'm taking Sammy the Snake Watkins.
Sammy the Snake?
I don't know.
He's the Lizard King.
Oh, I don't know. He's an amphibian is all I know, and I'm just going to call him a snake because it's alliteration with the S. Yeah. So that Fallon and I are tapped out. We're going to wait till George is done. We'll go over our teams, and we'll get out of this draft mostly unscathed.
One of us took Philip Rivers, so we're not getting completely unscathed.
No, she's completely scathed. She is scathed. I've got to say, Chris Thompson in the 14th is an interesting pick. He's a guy who could have a role, especially with Fournette's injury history. That's not a bad pick there.
It was actually somebody I was looking at. Kind of upset I didn't get him at the back end in the 14th. But
and D.D. Westbrook, somebody on Jacksonville is going to have to catch the ball. It might not all be D.J. Chark. Chenault, somebody there that could do it, but again, it's a rookie without a lot of camp. That's not going to be a high-powered offense, but D.D. Westbrook, somebody sneaky in the back of the 14th.
What are you thinking on Joe Burrow this year? I mean, I feel bad for rookie quarterbacks. We are just so – we expect so much from these rookies, their first year coming out, and instead of giving them time to grow into their role, and it's almost like we set them up to fail. And I just hope that's not the case with Joe Burrow.
So I think they have enough weapons around Joe Burrow that he'll be okay. And I'll see him a lot like Daniel Jones last year. He's going to have some boom games, but he's going to have some games against the Ravens and Steelers in particular where he doesn't do that well. So I think he's a very good quarterback coming out, and I think he has the talent around him with Mixon. If A.J. Green's healthy, I like Tyler Boyd this year. Auden Tate, if Auden Tate's your third wide receiver, you're doing something right as a franchise. So I like the weapons around Burrow, but we just have to see if he can put it all together. Like I said, he's got the talent around him to do well, and we'll see as a rookie how he does.
Yeah, the one thing I will say regarding the rookies, especially like Joe Burrow going to Cincinnati, I don't think there's a whole lot of pressure on Joe Burrow to come in and win day one. Like they know he's a rookie. They know that their team is not built for success right now. That it's going to be, you know, at least 2 years before they are super competitive, at least. You would think it would be 2 years before they're super competitive. So I don't think there's a lot of pressure on him to come in and win right now, where most of the time there is that pressure.
All right. And with Gardner Minshew being selected at 14-12, that is the end of this draft. We're going to go over everybody's picks real quick. George, we're going to start with you. You've got Saquon Barkley, Chris Godwin, Le'Veon Bell, A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin, Evan Ingram, Philip Lindsay, Matt Ryan, Bryce Love, Preston Williams, Mike Williams, Naheem Hines, Noah Fant, and Brian Edwards. What do you feel about your draft? If this was a team you were taking into a league, how do you feel you did?
I would like it, to be honest. I really like – listen, I like Saquon, okay? Like, you know, that goes without saying.
What?
I know it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy, but I like Saquon Barkley. I've said it. I'm out of the closet. I'm on the Saquon Barkley train as of right now. I think the kid has a future in football.
I mean, he has just a little bit of talent, yes. Right? Just a little bit.
A little bit.
I have to say, I am in love with your wide receiver at 210 with Chris Godwin and A.J. Brown. I like what you did. I like what you did in the 10th round with Preston Williams. And as far as your running backs go, anytime you have Saquon Barkley, you have an anchor. I'm not in love with Le'Veon Bell or Philip Lindsay or Bryce Love. I do like Naheem Hines' value. I think your wide receivers are great. Your running backs are good, anchored by the fact that you have a guy with legs bigger than my stomach, and my stomach is huge, as your running back one. So I like your team overall.
I think it's a very solid team. There's really, I don't think there's any real solid weakness on my team. I think overall, top to bottom, it's a deep team. It's a solid team. A lot of it, like, I like Evan Ingram. That's, like I said, I had him as my number four wide tight end, and getting him as the tight end six off the board was fantastic. It's a team I would love to play with, to be honest.
All right, and then Fallon, you've got Nick Chubb, Devontae Adams, Mark Ingram, Kareem Hunt, Cortland Sutton, Dak Prescott, Alexander Mattison, Marvin Jones Jr., Jonnu Smith, Jalen Reagor, Boston Scott, on Tate, Hunter Renfrow, and Phillip Rivers. Now, I know you love the Phillip Rivers pick. That's fine. Do you have any reservations about having both Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt on your team?
Actually, I was thinking about that, and it's quite the reverse. I actually like the fact that I have both those guys on the team because I think there's enough touches for both of them to excel. I mean, I really think that that they both can do fantastic. And Stefanski is committed to the running game, and you know, he but wasn't he like have didn't he and Chubb finish like back to back last year, and Hunt missed half the season. So I think I'm going to do really good with that.
Once Hunt came back, they were very close to each other in points every game. The only thing that would give me pause this year is COVID. It's COVID-19. And the fact that Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are in all the same meetings and all the same, practices together. So that's the only issue I would have is having.
And
both
I'm looking
of those
at my bye and the bye week. I'm kind of screwed.
So,
I'm really screwed on the bye week.
Well, there's something to pay attention to because Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt both have week 9.
So is Boston Scott. So
and Mark Ingram and Cortland Sutton have week 8. You have a whole lot of guys with the same couple of bye weeks. Something to pay attention to as you're drafting. But as you know, as your team is constituted, is not how it's going to be by the time you get there. You can make trades. You can trade one of those two guys out and get something so that maybe you're not in bye week.
Yeah, like I trade you Marvin Jones for Alan Lazard.
Let's do it right now. We'll just swap them. All right, now okay. I have Marvin Jones on my team. So at the end, I have Miles Sanders, Julio Jones, George Kittle, Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, Cam Akers, Tariq Cohen, Antonio Gibson, Alan Lazard, Matthew Stafford, Keyshawn Vaughn, Sony Michel, Corey Davis, and Sammy Watkins. I like my wide receivers on this team. I'm a big fan, obviously, of having George Kittle. Where I suffer here is running backs. Miles Sanders, if he doesn't get injured, is a solid number one. But then I'm relying on Cam Akers getting the ball, Tariq Cohen making a bounce back, Antonio Gibson actually getting the role, Keyshawn Vaughn actually getting the role, Sony Michel. I played not zero running back, but once running backs went on the boards off the board so heavy, I quickly pivoted, and it kind of bit me because I think I probably, looking back at it, would have been better off if I had just waited on wide receiver and got into the running back fray. But overall, I like my team, especially now that I have Marvin Jones. George, what do you think?
Trade completed. Fallon now has Alan Lazard. Jason does have Marvin Jones. Commissioner executed the trade while you guys were talking.
I saw that.
I'm not entirely in love with your running backs. I like Miles Sanders. I do have him as a top 12 running back this year. So I don't mind the Miles Sanders pick at all. I like the Julio Jones pick. Listen, who doesn't like 1,400 yards, right? I like the George Kittle.
And no touchdowns.
It doesn't matter. I'll still take 1,400 yards and 90 catches. That's fine. Like, I don't need touchdowns when I'm getting 1,400 yards. And touchdowns are just bonuses. I like the George Kittle pick. I think because of how deep wide receiver is, I think if you would have taken another running back at Mike Evans, I think I would have liked it better. Like, if you would have swapped Mike Evans and Jonathan Taylor, I think that gives you a more stable running back position. I'm not sure what's going to happen in Los Angeles with Cam Akers. Tariq Cohen, we discussed, we both view him as a high-end RB2. So he's within that 20 to 24 range. But I don't know. I just think, you know, you've got dart throws there, Keyshawn Vaughn, Antonio Gibson, Sony Michel. There's a lot of huge question marks at the running back position for you. And I'm not a big fan of that.
What hurts me here more than Mike Evans, because I think Mike Evans as a wide receiver, I will take him over Jonathan Taylor, Devin Singletary, the guys that went in the same round as him. What hurt me is when DeAndre Swift didn't make it back at 5'11".
Yep.
Because that would have been my pick and another starter. Jonathan Taylor is going to fight for first and second down work against Marlon Mack, who's not a bad running back in his own right. And I think by the end of the season, he'll have it. So, but I wasn't thrilled with – I wouldn't have been thrilled with taking Jonathan Taylor, which is why I passed on him. It's in the fifth round where DeAndre Swift didn't make it all the way back. I thought there'd be a bigger wide receiver run. And listen, there was a ton of them. But I thought maybe he'd make it back to me, considering the guy who took him already had a couple of running backs. But that's what happens when you roll the dice. And then when you get back there, the only running backs left are guys like Cam Akers, Jordan Howard. At that point, I'm taking Keenan Allen because I think he has the ability to be a high-end wide receiver too.
Correct.
So, you know, getting him as my third wide receiver and rolling into the season with Julio Jones, Mike Evans, and Keenan Allen, probably not a bad thing. But you're right. I talked about it. I did sacrifice a good amount of stability at running back to get those wide receivers. So with that, that's going to wrap up our draft show. Guys, if you want to follow Fallon, where can they follow you at?
I'm just a girl on Sleeper. I'm FF_justagirl on Twitter. And if you're on the Fantasy Life app, I'm just a girl.
And George?
You can follow me on Twitter at BFTGpod. I'm on the Sleeper app. I am at BFTGEO. And occasionally I still do jump on the Fantasy Life app. I'm at Geo.
And if you'd like to follow me, I'm at BFTGJason on Twitter. I'm at BFTG Dr. Mill on the Sleeper app, and I'm not on the Fantasy Life app, but I might end up back there for the season. So, you know, look for somebody named BFTG, and then that's where you'll find me. For all of us, we're at Sleeper Wire Show. We're getting into the season, so we're going to have more shows throughout the week. We're going to start getting into our normal show schedule as the season starts. So look out for that. And guys, thank you for listening.